great thing, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you this morning. When I was 9, I considered myself a titan of industry. What does that mean? Well, at least in my mind, I was. My 9-year-old hands weren't capable of constructing Hoover Dams or Lincoln Tunnels or Empire State Buildings. But my ambition certainly rivaled that of those great architects. I dammed up every little creek my bike and my 9-year-old legs could carry me to. Massive amounts of earth were displaced by my shovel as I strove to tunnel to China. And one day, I found out how I would build my Empire State Building. My wandering and travels had taken me out into this old farm field where there was this great big oak tree. My 9-year-old eyes glistened, my mind instantly abuzz with plans of a spectacular treehouse. So right away, I set to work dragging old boards into the field and scavenging nails from my dad's garage. Little did I know that tragedy was soon to befall me. See, a 9-year-old does not possess an adequate knowledge of construction or physics or really a lot of anything. So after several hours of fevered construction, I had managed to attach one 2x4 to the tree. Yet as I clambered up on top of it, I discovered that what I had just built was not the solid foundation of my architectural triumph, but rather a sinister catapult which promptly flung me off into space. So as I'm plummeting towards Earth, I'm sure that fear, surprise, dominated my thought process. But somewhere in there, there was this sudden, profound realization that my understanding, my wisdom had just completely and utterly failed me. You know, we'll get back to my actual arrival to the earth a little later, but for now let's focus on that feeling. My understanding had failed me. Something that I thought was safe and good was about to bring me harm and pain. How many other people have been in a situation like that or felt that feeling? Something that you thought was good brought you pain. Maybe it was a financial situation. Maybe you took out a bad loan or bought something that you later found was worthless. You thought you were making a worthy investment when all you got was a damaging drain on your finances. Maybe you took a job only to find out that it couldn't provide what you needed. Something that was a source of hope became a source of frustration. Maybe there was a relationship that you invested time and energy into, only to find that that other person was untrustworthy. Something that you thought was safe and good instead brought harm and pain. If this is the pattern our lives are doomed to follow, of trusting our understanding and our wisdom and stumbling into pain, what are we supposed to do? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 speaks to this exact situation. If you would like to turn there now. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. A lot of the Proverbs were written or put together by King Solomon, the wise king. And this is some of the wisdom that God allowed him to see. Start reading verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. Right away, we're given this tension, this sense of two factions at war with one another inside of us. Don't trust yourself. Trust God. It's a call to realize the reliability of the Lord. As you recognize the pattern of pain and failure your own understanding leads you into. It's saying that our understanding and God's wisdom are not similar. They're not even compatible. They stand in direct opposition, our understanding to God's wisdom. And this is the profound principle that the author of Proverbs is trying to illustrate for us. As we lean on our own understanding, we stumble into pain. But if we submit to God's wisdom, we stumble into His providence. Let me say that again. As we lean on our own understanding, we find unforeseen pain. But as we submit to God's wisdom, we find unforeseen providence. Now, we've already covered that first part. I understand that. I see that pattern in my life of my wisdom falling short and the painful consequences I've reaped as a consequence. But what about the second part? Submission to God's wisdom leads to unforeseen providence. Now, there's a word that we all love. Submission. Submit. Nothing more quickly conjures up images of rigid authoritarianism or abused power than that word, submit. But that's exactly what the next verse says. Verse 6, in all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Now, I'm someone, probably like a lot of you, who has some very deep emotional wounding caused by people who are in authority over me. And I know how easy it is to copy-paste all that emotional pain onto God. I know those feelings of distrust. But God could not be more different than those people who have wounded us. And the reason for His call to submit shows exactly that. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. God's call for us to submit is not based on some sadistic need for control that He has, but rather based on His concern and His care for us. What does that look like? I'm from a few different states, but I spent a lot of my growing up years in Utah and Colorado. They do not get as much rain as we do here, and the ground is dry and cracked. And so when it does rain, then the water builds up very quickly. It washes over bridges and roads. So if you can imagine with me being out on one of those country roads when it's raining. If it helps you to close your eyes, then go ahead and do that. But imagine you're driving down this road and the rain is beating against your windshield. You've got your wipers going full speed. Your brights are on. You're leaning into the steering wheel, trying to see through the storm. And coming up out of the darkness, you see one of those highway signs. The ones with the flashing words. And it says, bridge out ahead. Now, for those of us sitting here in the light, where it's not raining, not in the storm, not trying to get home, we can be a little more rational and we can think, well, whoever put that sign certainly had authority to do so. they probably even had a first-hand account of the road conditions, and hence the sign. But when we're in situations like that, sometimes our understanding takes a different course. We start thinking of the inconvenience of finding another way to go, the inconvenience of waiting it out, the inconvenience of doing something different than we've always done. And all of a sudden, there's that tension, that war within us between our understanding and the authority. And this is a fitting parallel to our situation with God and his call to submit. However, God's authority is so much higher than any person with a sign. You see, God, he knows the outcome of the roads that we're on. He's seen the end of it. The scripture says that he will make your path straight. He will make your road straight. What that says to me is that the road you're on, if it's not based off of God's wisdom, it's not straight. If you are walking in your own wisdom, the path you are on is going to have some dangerous twists. It's going to be full of potholes, and eventually you'll probably find a bridge out. But just like God knows the end of the road that you're on, he knows where he's trying to lead you. Throughout Scripture, God chooses to reveal himself to us as the Good Shepherd. We see this in Psalm 23, in one of my favorite passages, John chapter 10. Jesus is talking and he says, "My sheep, they know my voice and they follow me. Follow me." He isn't behind us, herding us along, not sure if there's a cliff in front of us or not. No, he's in front of us, walking, calling us, "Follow me. Walk where I'm walking. Go where I'm going." Because God won't call you somewhere that he hasn't already been preparing the way for you. So these are the two choices. We can continue relying on our own wisdom and stumbling into pain. Or we can give ourselves to God, submit to his wisdom, and stumble into grace. It seems simple. And it is. But how do we do that? How do we submit? What does that look like? Now, at this point, I could quote some nice, trite Christianisms. You know, you just need to trust in God more, or give it all to God. And we could smile, and we could nod, and we could fail to really internalize what God is trying to speak to us. But I don't believe in a trite God. I don't believe that God is detached from our world. He spoke about shepherds and sheep then, but if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we struggle to relate to that. But I don't believe in that trite God. I believe that if he is God and this is his inspired word, then everything he said then has real, legitimate, tangible application right here and right now. Leaning on our own understanding leads to unforeseen pain. Submission to God's wisdom leads to unforeseen providence. I get the first part and I know it's true. I see that pattern. Our world is full of people proving that true. Unfortunately, our churches are full of people proving that true. Now, I don't believe that people often foresee or intend half of the pain and harm that they cause. I don't believe that a man can stand at the altar and look into the eyes of the woman that he loves and decide, 12 years from now, I'm going to have an affair. I'm going to break the heart of the woman I love and destroy my family. But that happens. I don't believe that a woman can be sharing coffee with a close friend and decide in her mind that 3 months from now, I'm going to cripple this woman with gossip. I'm going to destroy her reputation and her self-worth. But that happens. I can't believe that a father can hold his infant child, look into her eyes and say, 4 years from now, I'm going to start a pattern of abuse. One day, this baby girl is going to hide the bruises that I gave her the night before when she goes to school. But that happens. And each of these instances are extreme outcomes of simple, small, everyday choices. An affair grows from the seed of an unwillingness to control our eyes and our mind. Gossip comes from a critical spirit. Abuse explodes out of an unwillingness to restrain our emotions and our anger. And our understanding is great at justifying these small instances. It says things like, it was only once, and no one's perfect. And day by day, week by week, year by year, our conscience is slowly tied up in compromise. And this is the reality into which God desires so strongly to speak. Each of these insignificant instances are accompanied by spiritual warning signs, complete with bright flashing words. But for most of us, myself included, they're hard to see because we're so accustomed to blowing right past them. Yet God is still faithful. He stands by the twisted paths of our lives, pointing us toward straight paths of safety and grace, continuously pointing us away from the unforeseen harm our understanding is leading us towards. If we can only submit to his wisdom, we will find ourselves in the midst of his providence. Do you remember the story at the start of me falling from the tree? Sure enough, gravity prevailed, and I hit the ground. As I lay there, gasping for breath, the air knocked out of my lungs. I rolled around and found that I had fallen into a large pile of leaves gathered by the wind. And even though the angle that I'd fallen, I should have hit my head, other than the breath being knocked out of me, I was fine. See, even in my ignorant reliance on my faulty understanding, God was still faithful. He was still faithful to protect me. Where are you today? Maybe you know you're walking down a path that is based on your wisdom and not God's. Maybe you're already stumbling into some of the consequences. If so, know this. I'm a young man, I don't know everything, but this I know, that God has always been and will always be a God of redemption. Even as we fail, God is there to give us another chance, to point us back onto that straight road. Today is the day. Right now is the time. Invite God into those small, everyday choices. Ask yourself that question. Is this my understanding or God's wisdom? Pete, if you would come. If we can begin to do that, if we can be a church of people who asks God into our everyday lives, what a change we'll see. What a change we'll make. What a blessed place to be, anchored securely in the middle of God's provision. If you would, what I'd like to do is something that we do in youth group pretty regularly. I'd like to take just a few minutes and give you an opportunity to listen. We do a lot of talking, we don't do a lot of listening. So I'd like to give you an opportunity to listen. What is God wanting to speak to you right now? Are there areas in your life in which you need God's wisdom? That you need to ask for His guidance? If it's easiest for you to do that in your seat, stay there. If it's easiest for you to do at the altar, then come. There's wonderful people in this church, and they'd love to pray with you. But for now, let's take just those few minutes. Listen to God, let Him speak, and I will close us in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you that you've made it accessible to us through your word and through your Holy Spirit. Let us be people who build our lives on your wisdom, who submit to you in our everyday choices. Speak to us throughout this week. Let us see your direction. Let us see your wisdom. And give us the strength to submit. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, and that you've made all this possible for us. I ask that you would be with everyone today as we go home, and that you would give us a blessed day. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Thank you for worshiping with us.